Reading from Sri Bhajanarhasyam by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is the Shashta Yam Sarana, the sixth stage of bhajan at the level of bhava, where one is chanting the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, with great feelings of ecstasy. And during those times of ecstasy, then different symptoms manifest in his body due to the perturbation of his heart. Nayanam gadadashadariya varanam gadgara uriyagira pulakar nichisham bhavu kada tavanama grahane bhavishiti. His eyes well up with tears, his voice will choke, his voice may tremble or erupt with tiny bumps of ecstatic joy when he chants the holy name of the Lord. Absorbed in different feelings and different tastes and ruchis will come to him. Intense desire to attain the Lord and serve the Lord directly and personally in some intimate confidential service, Bhagavat Prapti Abhilash. And when he has that opportunity to serve the Lord, then another intense taste or desire will manifest in his heart called Anukalyena Abhilash. He wants to perform, have a strong desire to perform that service very pleasingly, most pleasingly and most perfectly for the happiness and satisfaction of the Lord. And then, as he progresses in his intimate service in a mood of bhav, then another taste, a final taste will manifest. And this is called Soharda Abhilash. It'll just be thinking so much of the Lord that it'll identify that the Lord is my very self, that there's no difference between the Lord and myself, and I'll do anything, everything for him. I've lost all calculation and consideration of my own welfare or my own happiness, because I'm totally absorbed in the Lord. So these are the three types of ruchis, very deep and profound ruchis that manifest on the level of bhava. So these are feelings, these are abhilash, these are feelings, desires, thinking, feeling, willing, these are mental functions, these are internal. But then, and these are more important, that there is no difference between the Lord and myself, and I'll do anything, everything for him. I've lost all calculation and consideration of my own welfare or my own happiness, because I'm totally absorbed in the Lord. So these are the three types of ruchis, very deep and profound ruchis that manifest on the level of bhava. So these are feelings, these are abhilash, these are feelings, desires, thinking, feeling, willing, these are mental functions, these are internal. But then, and these are more important. These internal symptoms of bhava are much more important than external symptoms. These external symptoms can sometimes be imitated by a person who's not really on the level of bhava. So some of the external symptoms, there's nine that are listed. And there are eight external symptoms of bhava: ashru pulak, and then swara bheda, choking of the voice. These eight sattvic vikars, they're being stunned, which is stumba, sweating, or perspiring, which is sweta. And swara bheda means stammering or choked voice. And then sripilation, hair standing, and then romancha, choking voice. I said that shivering, becoming pale, vaivarnya, fainting, pralaya. These external symptoms also, in his discussion, this chapter, chapter 6, Bhajanarhasyam, text number 5. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also mentions these symptoms, that this is what will happen.
I have it. I got it.
Thank you. And this is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 2.3.16. Describes the Ashta Sattvic Bhavas. These are the eight ecstatic symptoms. The first three symptoms appear slightly in the initial stage of bhava. So the sattvic bhavas, these are involuntary external responses to inner feelings. These sweating, hair standing and then tears coming, they just happen. Involuntary means you don't do it yourself, you don't bring it on, it happens. It comes on by itself, it happens by itself. in response to the inner bhava that's rising in the heart. That's why it's sometimes it's spontaneous emotions or spontaneous feelings. So this staiva, this sattvic bhava is one of the five essential ingredients of rasa. These eight symptoms of spiritual ecstasy arise exclusively from Vishuddha sattva, which is Vishuddha sattva is defined very nicely here as the self-revealing aspect of Krishna's chit shakti. The verse is here: Te stamba sweta romancha swara bedo tave patu vaivaranyam ashupralaya ityashto sattvika smritaha. The ashta-sattvic transformations of bhava are becoming stunned, perspiration, standing of the hairs on end, faltering of the voice, trembling, loss of color, bodily skin tone changes color, tears and loss of consciousness or fainting. In the pure consciousness, shuddha-sattva of the living entity, when the action of the heart, chitta, becomes stimulated, it brings about further action. At that time, a wonderful state arises, which makes the heart blossom in various ways. These transformations, such as dancing and so forth, are of many varieties. The word sattva, as we're talking about ashta, eight, sattvic, and vikar, transformations due to bhava, the word sattva refers to the heart that is directly stimulated by transcendental sentiments. The bhavas, or emotions, that arise from this sattva are called sattvic bhavas, becoming stunned, trembling, etc. These are symptoms of sattvika transformations. When a sadhaka's heart attains oneness with sattvic bhavas, it submits itself to the life air. So there's a whole description here of how these sattvic bhavs, which are bodily transformations, tears, hair standing, and these are all things happening in the physical body, they are due from the stimulation of the prana. The life airs in the body are stimulated by this subtle emotions. And it causes when the air element, there's different elements in the body, the air element, there's sattvic bhavas, it's interesting to think about. There's sattvic bhavas, then there's eight elements in the body. There's eight of these bhavas. So, when the sadhaka's heart attains oneness with sattvic bhavas, it submits itself to the life air. When prana is excited, it causes excessive agitation of the body. At that time, one becomes stunned. So this, even in Ayurveda, they say there's a disturbance of the vata, which is a, you can say, a gross vata, kapha, and pitta. This vata is a gross form of the prana, the air element. Prana is more deeper than vata, than the air element. It's a very life force. And then it says when this vishuddha sattva, the sattvic potency in the heart, when it contacts the water element of the body, it stimulates the water element when it mixes with the sattva, or vishuddha sattva, and then produces tears. And when the sattvic, or vishuddha sattva potency, mixes with the fire element of the body, agni, jataragni in the stomach, or etc., diagni, or akagni, the fire in the eye, fire in the mind, fire in the stomach, when a sattvic energy, this vishuddha sattva, mixes with that fire element, then it produces sweating in the body, uncontrollable sweating. So the acharyas describe, almost in a scientific way, how the transformations of the body are brought about by contact with the various elements of the body with the vishuddha sattvic potency. Anubhavas, such as dancing, in that state, the bhava that is manifested by sattva does not directly perform the activity. Rather, the activity is performed as a result of the intelligence being stimulated. In the ashta-sattvic bhavs, such as stamba, the intelligence is not needed. The sattvic bhav itself, performs the activity. In some conditions, the life air becomes present as a fifth element together with the other four elements of earth, water, fire, and sky. Sometimes it consists mainly of itself. In other words, the prana is predominated by vayu, air. Then that vayu or prana moves throughout the body of the living entity. When the prana comes in contact with the earth element, inertness or stumbha is observed. One becomes stunned, immobilized due to intense bhava or feelings, frozen. Sometimes people freeze in fear. Fear is also a bhava, the type of feeling. Someone gets very frightened. They don't know what to do. Their legs won't move, their mouth won't move, they just get paralyzed. It's called paralysis, stumbha, paralysis, stunned, can't move. Because the air element controls motion. So you can't, there's no locomotion, there's no movement of the muscles or legs or arms when you're stunned. People, this happens. So when prana comes in contact with the earth element, then one becomes stone-like or stumbha. When prana takes shelter of water, tears are manifest. When prana contacts fire, perspiration, sweat, and change in bodily color, vaivarnya, are evident. When prana takes shelter of calm or sky, it manifests pralaya or loss of consciousness. You faint. When it consists predominantly of itself, or in other words, when prana takes shelter of the element air, then there's ripilation. That means goosebumps on the body. There's trembling, vapatu, and faltering of the voice. Stumbha is a state in which one becomes inert, and this arises from happiness, fear, astonishment, dejection, regret, anger, and depression. Perspiration, which is another subject bhava, it arises from jubilation, fear, anger, and so forth. Standing of the hairs on end arises from astonishment, enthusiasm, fear, and jubilation. The voice becomes choked up or faltering due to despair, wonder, anger, jubilation, and fear. And trembling of the body is caused by fear, anger, and happiness. When the body changes color, it is called vaivarnya. Varnya means color, and vai means without. The tears come when there's anger, despair. When tears are cool, that means that these are tears of anger. Excuse me. Tears of joy are cool in temperature. Very interesting. You have to take the temperature of your tears. If your tears are cool, that means you're happy. If your tears are warm, that means you're angry. Cessation of all action, loss of consciousness, becoming motionless and falling on the ground are called pralaya. Pralaya, or fainting, or swooning, is caused by happiness and distress, and or distress. The sattvic bhavas, they manifest in five stages of intensity. So there's eight different symptoms of ecstasy. Then each one of these has five different degrees of intensity of manifesting. This is all called rasa tattva. Discussion of ras, because this is one of the five elements of bhakti ras, or prem ras. There's the alambana, there's vibhav, then there's anubhav, sattvic bhavs, sanchari bhavs, and sthayi bhav. So all these five bhavas combine to make what is called rasa. So it's a little technical, but this is the facts. There's progressive gradation of sattva. Smoldering, doom. Doom means like smoky. Like we say doom. Dumayata. Means smoldering. Flaming, jwalita. Burning, deepta. Like deep lamp. Brightly burning, udipta, which means utam deepta. And then blazing, which means sudipta. Means very, very much blazing. They are gradually reflected in the heart of a sincere, pure devotee according to the level of his sadhana. Many people, however, exhibit these bhavas to impress others or to achieve success in their own activities in the material world. But such demonstrations are not the transcendental sentiments of pure devotion. As I said earlier, some of these external symptoms, tears and trembling, etc., which are bona fide expressions of the heart's bhav, the heart's intense attachment to Krishna, can often be imitated by charlatans. It's better we see the actual internal symptoms. So these were the external symptoms of bhava. And there's some discussion here, which I read in this purport. So you see that when this bhava, this septic bhava, this feeling of intense love, it contacts the material elements of the body, then it creates different expressions. But this is also there in Natya Shastra, scriptures about drama. So those that are involved in theater, actors, they also are dealing with bhava. Now this is called Lokik Bhav. They're dealing with feelings, loving feelings, emotions and feelings. Lokik Bhav means feelings of this world, loka. This loka, this world, Lokik Bhav. So therefore, in drama, in plays, the actors are speaking different things, the hero and the heroine, the nayak and nayaka, and it's very emotionally charged scenes, and so someone may get worked up in the delivery of their different lines and absorbed in the character that they're portraying and become very emotional and start crying or actually start trembling because the material emotions are building up in their heart. And the build-up of the material emotions in their heart, when those emotions, material emotions, lokik bhav, when they mix with the water element, when those emotions stimulate the pran, and the pran moves through the body and mixes with the water element, then it produces a gushing of tears, or maybe at least a few teardrops from the eyes. So good actors, they really feel the part. They really feel the part of the actor or actress whom they are portraying. So they really cry, and you see them, and everyone says, wow, she's doing some good acting. She's crying, and then you feel it also. You may also start crying. But your crying in the audience and her crying on the stage are not transcendental emotions. These are not septic vikars due to the contact of Ishuddha Sattva. These are transformations of the physical body due to the stimulation of the pran, due to the ingress of material feelings arising due to the scene or setting of the drama or movie. So this is the material counterpart of spiritual rasa. So one must be careful not to misidentify one for the other. So in this discussion, these are the external symptoms which aren't so significant. Now, there are also 9 internal symptoms which are seen when one attains to rati or bhav. And these are mentioned in the nectar of devotion itself. And these are a little harder to imitate. Practically can't imitate. So what are those 9 internal symptoms? And these are really what we call the Sarup Lakshana. The Sarup Lakshana of Bhava Bhakti. The other was Tattastha Lakshana, secondary characteristics. But the primary characteristic are the 9 internal symptoms, not the 8 external symptoms. The 8 external symptoms of bhava are called ashta sattvic vikars, or ashta sattvic bhavs, tears and trembling and choking of the voice and change of bodily color and becoming stunned and fainting. But these internal symptoms are more significant. And these you can judge. You can live with someone day to day and then see what is their position, what is their nature. So the first one is called kantir, as Prabhupada say, kantir or shantir, which means tolerance. Not only ordinary tolerance, like you may think you're tolerant, but tolerance means that one is not agitated even if there's a good cause. One patiently tolerates everything while continuing to remember Lord Krishna, knowing that everything that's happening to him is all Krishna's will. So the example is Parikshit. Parikshit Maharaj was very tolerant. He was cursed by Sringi, the Brahmin Sringi, to die in 7 days by the bite of Tarksha, the snake. He tolerated, all right, let it be, this is the Lord's will. Why should I fight it? Why should I try to counteract it? The Lord has a higher purpose here. Let me sacrifice my body for the will of, for the purpose of the Lord in carrying out his plan to deliver the Srimad Bhagavatam for the benefit of all humanity. So he's given his example of Shantir, great tolerance, because he was absorbed. And when one is at the level of Bhava, then he can obviously give up all eating, give up all sleeping. And these are all traits are also described in the first canto of Bhagavatam, describing Parikshit Maharaj, that he was sitting on the bank of the Ganga waiting to die, waiting for 7 days. And Shukadeva Goswami was narrating the glories of Krishna, the sweet and beautiful glories of Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And by hearing those glories, Bhagavat Shravan, Bhagavat Shravan Ashwado Rasika Sahasanga. By hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and tasting the Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of a Rasika Vaishnava, like Shukadeva Goswami, then Parikshit Maharaj, he gave up all eating and sleeping. He had no interest. He didn't feel thirsty. He didn't ask for any water. He didn't ask for any food. And even sometimes he was asked, are you thirsty? Would you like something? He said, Nigama Kapaturai, Pivatam Amritam. He said, I'm drinking the greatest nectar. I'm drinking the greatest nectar from your lips. It's Harikatamritam. Harikatamritam, these nectarine topics of Hari and his pure devotees. Why should I endeavor for some pale, useless, tasteless water? This is nothing. I have no interest in this water. What about food? No, I'm drinking. So I'm drinking these topics. I'm tasting. I'm chewing these topics with my mind and heart. I'm feeling fully satisfied. I don't hanker for anything else. I don't hanker for anything in this world. This world is made up of four activities. If you take these four activities away from the people in this world, everyone will die. Ahara, Nidra, Maitun, Bhayam. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. These are the primary activities of the human being. Or let's see, all living beings. So what Parikshit was doing none of them. He was not eating, he was not sleeping, not mating, not defending, not fighting, no politics, no diplomacy, no wars, no campaigns. Simply hearing. Bhagavat Shravan. Hearing. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The original Bhagavat Saptaha. Not actually the original, but engaged in a Bhagavat Saptaha. And by hearing the sweet and satisfying nectarine topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, he lost all interest. He lost interest in anything of this world. His kingdom, his wives, his children, his fame, his name, his riches, his wealth, the basic pleasures of the body, eating and sleeping. He had no concern for any of it. So this is a true example of tolerance. Shantir. Not even agitated when there's a good cause. We may say, yes, I'm very patient, I'm very tolerant, but as soon as some cause comes up, hey, it becomes disturbed, like a volcano. You may think, yes, I'm very calm, very quiet, and then as soon as someone takes your dhoti, or takes your javamala, then you become so angry. Oh, you took my dhoti. So the second internal symptom is avyarta kalatvam. Kala means time. Avyarta kalatvam, not wasting time in any activity outside the cultivation of bhakti. So practically speaking, most people, they while away their time in doing everything but bhakti. Hours and hours and hours and days go by in maintaining the body, pampering the body, cleansing, decorating, clothing the body, resting the body, and then dealing with the interrelations with the body, the relatives and parties and this and that. So just the opposite. We waste all of our time. Most people waste all of their time in activities unrelated to bhakti because they aren't on a level of bhava. But when one becomes intensely attached to Krishna at the level of bhava, deep loving ecstatic mood of service, then he can't think of anything but Krishna's service. He doesn't want to waste a moment, and he doesn't. He doesn't want to waste a moment in non-Krishna activities, and he doesn't do it either. Not wasting time in activities outside cultivation of bhakti. And number three is virakti. It's a common word, vairagi, or virakti. Detachment from objects of sense gratification. The devotee is so attached, to the transcendental forms, tastes, and smells of God that he considers material sense objects like stool. That's a pretty heavy statement. Virakti. Any object of this world which is disconnected with Krishna and his pleasure and his satisfaction, if it has any type of coloring, any object or any person, object or place of this world, if it has any material tinge or any mayic coloring, then a devotee considers that this is just like stool. This person is a personified stool. Stool man, stool woman, stool object, stool place, if it's disconnected with Krishna. Detachment from objects of sense enjoyment. The example is given of King Bharat Maharaj. Because he left everything. He had everything money could buy. Fantastic palace, kingdom. The whole earth planet was his kingdom, his empire. He was the emperor of the world. So many hundreds of queens. He was young, he was only 24. That means his queens were 14 years old, 15 years old, 16, in the prime of youth. So beautiful, so tender, sweet, loving, effulgent, powerful, strong, obedient. He left all these hundreds of teenage queens and his fabulous kingdom and his obedient children and his wealth and influence and everything. And it says in the Bhagavatam, 5th canto, that he left all of that just like one passes stool. Which means that all these objects, he considered them to be nothing but no better than stool, no more significant or valuable than stool. You pass it and leave it. Never come back, never look back. You don't touch it. Certainly you don't touch your stool. You don't look at it, you don't smell it, you don't touch it, associate with it. It's out and gone forever. Oh, eternally separated. So he was like that. He's the example of this principle or this internal symptom of bhava called virakti. Detachment from objects of sense enjoyment. Because the devotee is so attached to the transcendental forms, tastes, and smells of God, he considers material sense objects just like stool. The fourth internal symptom is man shunyata. Shunyata. Again, ta. Which means the tendency, ta, to be devoid of man, pride. Pridelessness. An example is given in Nectar Devotion of this quality of someone who is genuinely and really free from all pride is King Bhagiratha. King Bhagiratha, of course, is the father of descendant of Kapila. All his sons were burned up by Kapila because of some aparad or whatever. So King Bhagiratha took a vow to bring the Ganga from the heavenly planets to the earth planet. And somehow he was able to fulfill that vow. And he brought the Suraduni Ganga from the heavenly planets to the earth planet. That's why sometimes the Ganga is called the Bhagirathi. Bhagirathi. So one, it's explained here, I don't remember the circumstance, but he went, because of some reason or other, he went to the homes of his enemies. Maybe after he became a devotee or took up the devotional line, he would go to the homes of his enemies and beg from them, which is really swallowing your pride. Someone who is your former enemy, a former king, anti-party or adversary king that you would often fight with or challenge, now you're going to his doorstep and begging from him. This really requires a humble mood, free from all pride. Like someone might say, a guru might say, well, I want you to go door to door and beg some alms for the ashram. And you might, and say you're going door to door, then you get to one door and say, oh, this is my rival. In college, I always had rivalry with this person. Now I know he lives here. Well, let me skip over this house. My guru said, go door to door and beg alms, collect food for the ashram, some flour, some oil, some ghee. But I know, so I don't mind. I'll go to any house. It's okay. I don't have so much pride. But in this house, this is my rival from college days. We used to be sports rivals. We used to be and scholastic rivals. He would sometimes beat me in the tests. I would sometimes beat him. I can't go to his door. I can't face him. No, I'll skip his door. So that means that pride is there. Some pride. Because you have some attachment to your own ego. But King Bhagiratha, he didn't have any attachment to his own ego. He was free from ego. He was surrendered in a mood of service. So he was prideless. So he's given as an example of Aman shunyata. Be really prideless. The fifth symptom of bhava is asha bandha. Asha bandha. This means to be tied up with hope. Bandha means, like we say, nitya bandha or bond. Bandha means bound, tied. Like with a rope, someone may take a rope and tie your arms and your ankles and your wrists and your arms and your legs and bind them so you can't go anywhere. This means you're completely bound with hope. Your mind is full of hope. Your heart is full of hope. Your intelligence is full of hope. You're a person, you're personified hopefulness. You're very hopeful. Firm hope for what? You have firm hope to attain Krishna. This is your firm hope. Yes, I am feeling my relationship with Krishna in a very tangible way. His presence is, he is very near to me. He has become very dear to me at this level of bhav. And it is just a matter of moments or a matter of days before I finally attain him directly. Sakshat Darshan, Sakshat Hari. I have hope for this. Because so many installments have come to me. So many experiences have manifested before me. Krishna has presented himself in so many intimate ways and confidential ways that all of these things put together have brought me to the conclusion of asha bandha. Very firm and strong hope which binds me and pushes me forward day by day. Yes, I surely will attain Krishna. Yes, yes, yes. There are no doubts now. There are no doubts. Everything is clear. Everything is, I feel encouragement everywhere. I feel excitement everywhere. I'm not in a downtrodden mood. I'm very joyful over the prospect. The prospect is very great. The potential is very positive. Number six is samutkanta. Samutkanta. Great eagerness to attain one's beloved deity or one's object. Eagerness is the life force of devotion. Without eagerness, there is no taste in our endeavor. Without eagerness, no one can subdue Krishna with love. What is the example? The example is in Gokul, in Krishna's Braja Gokul Leela, in Balya Leela. Mother Yashoda, which was this month, actually Mother Yashoda, tide of Krishna on Diwali. Diwali or the next day after. It was in Kartik month. So this is the month, this is Damodar month, means this is the month to tie up Krishna. Yashoda tied up Krishna this month, and also Radharani tied up Krishna. Brahma Vavart Puran tells how Radharani tied up Krishna in Kartik month with some lata, Madhavi lata, in a kunja one day. So therefore we worship this Radha Damodar. This Radha who bound Krishna around the waist with her divine, with her love, unbreakable love, and kept him bound in the kunja. Radha Damodar, Kunja Vihari. So this is the mood of eagerness that the example is given, Mother Yashoda trying to bind. When Krishna saw the intensity of Mother Yashoda's eagerness and her endeavor, then he gave his mercy and allowed her to bind him with the rope. This is in Bhavishya Puran. In Bhavishya Puran it describes how Radharani bound Krishna because he was late for Abhisar, and he was giving the excuse to Radharani that Mother Yashoda had detained him. Good excuse. My mother wouldn't let me go out of the house. I'm very sorry I came late. This is why I'm late. And then Radharani said, yes, and your mother also scratched your chest, and your mother also bit your lips, and your mother also kissed your eyes. So you have lipstick on your eyes. Your mother also did all that. I forgot about that. So Krishna gets caught that he was actually with Chandravali or Shaibya or Padma, some other Vipaksha Sakhi, rival of Radharani, an antagonist. And he tries to blame it on his innocent mother. Just see, what a terrible boy. Radharani's not so naive. She said, yes, yes, I know your mother Yashoda detained you. You couldn't come to Nikunj and meet me on time. It's no problem. Now I'm going to tie you up to this kadamba tree and just see if you get away and go to your mother again. Let me see if you run to your mother again like this, like you did before. So then she ties him up, Lita Sakhi and Vishaka. They take some Madhavi Lata, some vines from Madhavi, and they tie him up like a prisoner. Prisoner of war. POW. Krishna, POW, prisoner of war. Locked up in Radharani's kunj. And then they have to do plea bargaining. Krishna has to do plea bargaining to get free. Oh, please, Radharani, I promise I'll be a good boy. Just untie me. I'll never do this again. And I'll be so obedient to you. And I'll do anything you want, any type of service you want, I'll do. I'll be your slave. I'll be your servant for life. I promise. And like this, it goes on. But Radharani doesn't fall for it so easily. Now the seventh symptom is of the internal symptom of Bhava Bhakti. That was the number six. Samutkanta. Great eagerness to attain one's beloved deity. And the seventh symptom is Nam Gane Sadaruchi. Sadaruchi, always tasty. Always tasting Nam Gan. The different characteristics and qualities of the Nam. One at the level of Bhava, we ever relishing a strong taste to chant the holy name of the Lord. So he'll have a strong taste for chanting the holy name of the Lord. And he'll chant the holy name with great bhav. And all the time. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Nam Gane Sadaruchi. One acharya said, at the level of bhav, you don't chant the holy name. The holy name chants you. Dancing in the heart, it makes the tongue move. So at the level of bhav, a devotee has started to bind the Lord in his heart. The Lord has revealed himself. The Lord reveals himself to the devotee at the level of bhav. He says, here I am. Do you see me? And the devotee says, yes, I see you. Now I'm going to tie you up. I'm going to tie you up. Now don't go. I'm going to tie you up to my heart. Don't try to slip away now. You can get away from my hand, but you can't get out of my heart. There's a verse like this in Krishna Karanamrita by Bilva Mangala Thakur, because he was blind. He was blind, and Gopal Krishna used to come and play with him, bring him some milk, and then he would say, "Oh, old man, take this pot of milk." And then Gopal would touch his hand and said, "Oh, old man, do you want to play with me?" "Yes, yes." Then Gopal would throw his hand down and run behind him and say, "Old man, where am I? Can you catch me?" And he would play hide and seek like this with Bilva Mangala. So Bilva Mangala was at a disadvantage because he couldn't see. He was blind. He could only hear Gopal taunting him and teasing him from the front side, from the back side, sometimes touching, sometimes holding his hand, sometimes throwing it down, running away. And at that time, there's a very beautiful verse that Bilva Mangala recited to Gopal, which he later wrote in Krishna Karanamrita. And he said that, "Oh Gopal, you can get out of my clutch, you can get out of the clutches of my hand, but you can never get out of my heart. I firmly bound you in my heart, so you can run away from my hand, but you can never run out of my heart." It's something like this, very beautiful. This happens at the level of bhav. The devotee begins to bind the Lord in his heart. So that's what happens when the Lord is bound there. The Lord is very restless. He's chanchal, chatur. Krishna is chatur and chanchal. He doesn't stay in one place very long. He's very restless. He's a little bit like monkey. Monkeys don't stay in one place too long. Often the Brijvasis, they also say that, they say of themselves, they say, "Actually, you know, we're Brijvasis, but we're in Bandur Bhav." If you mix up with some Brijvasis, they'll say, "You know, we are in Bandur Bhav. We are very chanchal. We jump here, we jump there, we say this, we say that. We're a little unpredictable. We may steal something from you. Watch out. We're like Bandurs, big Bandurs." So Krishna is also like this. He's always associating with monkeys and feeding them yogurt and butter. So he takes on some of their qualities. So he's jumping here and there. He's very hard to hold, very hard to capture. But when he's bound by bhav within the heart of the devotee, then he also will jump. So then the devotee, he tries to hold him down, and then Krishna starts dancing. And when Krishna starts dancing in the heart, in his chanchal way, in his chanchal fashion, when Krishna is dancing in the heart, Krishna's dancing in the heart makes the tongue move. And the Bhava Bhakta, his tongue is moving because of Krishna's dancing in the heart. The Bhava Bhakta is not moving his tongue, Krishna is moving his tongue. Before the level of bhav, we have to forcefully move our tongue to vibrate the holy name of the Lord. Oh tongue, hey listen tongue, now move. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Now chant 16 rounds, now chant 1 lakh, whatever. At the level of bhav, as this acharya is saying, you don't chant the holy name chants you. Because the holy name is Nam Prabhu, holy name is Radha Krishna, Rupam. So, dancing in the heart, the holy name makes the tongue move. So this is called Nam Gane Sadaruchi. The 8th symptom of bhav is Tad Gunakyan. Tad Gunakyan. That means speaking about the qualities and glories of the Lord. The devotee is very attached to hearing and chanting the sweet qualities and pastimes of Krishna. He always wants to talk about Krishna. So people can fake the tears and the trembling and these other symptoms, external symptoms of bhav. But then if you stay with them after their performance, you stay with them after their performance and spend day after day, you see that they smoke and they watch TV and read newspapers and listen to the Calcutta cinema songs on the radio, and they're not always talking about Krishna and always wanting to talk about Krishna. So these 9 symptoms, when you find these 9 symptoms in someone and in a very profound way, then you can have some idea that this person may in fact be on a level of bhav. And you may not externally see any of the external symptoms. They never cry, they never become stunned, or they're very sober and grave. Externally they appear to be very sober and grave, although they may be friendly also. Not that they're sullen sullen or glum or morose. They're friendly and joyful, but they're grave. But they're not, tears are not rolling down their eyes every other day, and they're not trembling their voice and goosebumps and are Sika standing on end. But they're actually, these symptoms you see, anytime you meet them, whenever, wherever, they're always saying something, Krishna, 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 hey. And always chanting the name. The name is always coming. Gopal, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Radhe, 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 Radhe. And this one man, one devotee lives over by the Shamakund Sai, by the Jibya Mandir. He's an old devotee. Lives by the tongue of Giriraj. And he's always Radhe, 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 Radhe. Of course, he's chanting his Nam, his Japa, probably 1 lakh, 2 lakhs, whatever. But whenever you see him walking down the street, he goes to buy a little sabji every day. He's about 72, 73 or so. And a short old man. Radhe, 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 Radhe. And then you see him and then you say, Radhe, Radhe. He's Radhe, Radhe. He's always... The name doesn't leave his tongue. It's tied up over there. It's become one with his tongue. So now this last symptom, these are the nine, there's nine internal symptoms of Bhava Bhakti, and there's 8 external symptoms, so that means 17 symptoms or characteristics. Pritis tadvasati stale. Priti, to have great love for living in the lila stali, or the place of Krishna's pastimes. The Bhava Bhakta loves to live in the place of Krishna's pastimes. So that's quite obvious. That one who's very much attached to Krishna, he'll naturally want to live in his place, especially in his lila stali, which is specific. You might say, in a generic way, all of Brajmandal is Krishna's lila stali. So whether you live here or there, it doesn't matter. But this is not exactly what Rupa Goswami is saying, and this is from Nectar Devotion, which is being quoted here in the context of the 6th stage of bhajan at the level of bhava, where the 9 internal symptoms of bhava bhakti are being enumerated. It says, Pritis tadvasate stale. A lila stali, specific lila stali, priti. Priti means that he has great love, the devotee, the Bhava Bhakta has great love, great feelings, and great desire to live there, and he lives there with great love. And also that this place, this lila stali, or vasati stale, is priti vasati stale, priti vas. Priti vas means prem vas, or prem vilas. Prem Vilas Stali means a place where Radha Visa Madhurya Bhakta, Madhurya Mayi Bhakta, Visa Madhurya Mayi Bhakta, aspiring after the service of Radharani in Madhurya Bhav or Manjari Bhav, then he's very much affection and feeling to live in a Prem Vilas Stali, a place where Radha and Krishna are exchanging their intimate feelings of conjugal love. Besides Govardhan, Nija Nikita Nivasam, Govardhan Tvam. Oh, you, Govardhan, please bestow your mercy. Please give me Nijita Nikita Nivasam. Nija Nikita Nivasam, please give me a Nivas. Please give me a place near you. Because near you, in the valleys, there's rasa dance. Radha and Krishna, the rasa dance in your valleys at Chandra Sarovar and Punchari Rasa Stali and Radhakund Rasa Stali. And there's so many khandaras, so many caves within your body where you invite Radha and Krishna to enter your body and enjoy beautiful, loving pastimes there. So I want to live beside you. Nijaka Nivasam Dehi Govardhan Tvam. Oh, Dehi. Please give me, O Govardhan Nath, O Giriraj, please give me, Dehi, Nivas, a residence beside you. And especially in all the places of Govardhan, the place at Radhakund is the topmost. And Kundastikam and Shyamakundastikam and this Govardhanastikam, which are prayers by Vishwanath and Raghunath, both of them lived at Shyamakund for the majority of their lives. So both of them appreciated this Priti Vasati Stali, this Leela Stali, which is saturated with Priti, Krishna Priti, Radha Priti, Priti, and Prema. So this is a very specific aspiration to live at a specific location of Radha and Krishna's pastime, Seva Kunj, Nidiband, Radha Kund, Govinda Kund, Varsanadam, Yavadgram. And when devotees do bhajan in places of Braj, they will realize the difference between a generic generic part of Vrindavan and a specific Priti Vasati Stali, a Leela Stali which is surcharged with Radha and Krishna's Priti or love. Personally, although we're not anywhere near the level of Bhava, but we have been residing 20 years, somehow or other, in Vrindavan, by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga and Srimati Radharani. And we have sampled the taste and experience of living in different places. We were living directly in the middle of Seva Kunj. Seva Kunj is a vast area which begins at Dwadasaditya Tila, where Sanatan Goswami is doing his bhajan, and extends all the way to Vamshivat. This very large area is called Seva Kunj. It includes many temples, not only the small little circumscribed area which people walk around. And 35 years ago, that little park which they called Seva Kunj with all the monkeys and the little Parikrama Mark there in Vrindavan, they called it the official Seva Kunj. 30 years ago, that was even bigger than it is today. But two Goswamis had a fight, and there's a brick wall. If you're walking along the path in Seva Kunj, the bricks go like this. The brick path goes like straight like this. And then there's a wall. I said, wait a minute. It goes like this. And then on the other side of the wall, if you go on the other side of the wall, it's called Kishore Kunj, Kishorvan. And if you go on there, then you see the continuation of that brick path, which goes like this, and then goes like this, and makes the circumference. The Prikamarg of Seva Kunj. There's this brick wall right across it because two Goswamis had a fight and one Goswami chopped off the eastern corner of Seva Kunj. And it's inside of Kishorvan, which is what we call Loi Bazaar now. So even Seva Kunj got chopped in 30 years. So 500 years ago when Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami were doing bhajan there, it was a very large area. And transcendental topography, this is the area. So when Prabhupada was doing bhajan in Seva Kunj at Radha Damodar Temple, he was sitting right in the middle of Seva Kunj. And despite the rumors that go around, if you stay in Seva Kunj overnight, you'll go crazy. They have rumors like that. Pandas used to say, if anyone sneaks into Seva Kunj and they stay there overnight, they'll see the Leela, they'll go crazy, they'll become blind, and all these things. I didn't see that Prabhupada went blind. He lived there for 6 years. And Rupa Goswami didn't go blind, and Jiva Goswami didn't go blind. And I don't know, maybe I've gone blind, but I'm a little blind. But I stayed there 3 years in that Seva Kunj. And I had different experiences there, which are my private treasures. But then I stayed some years in a place called Madhavan Colony. Although it's a nice name, there's no real pastime there specifically. Then I stayed some time in Ramanreti, which is also a nice name. But actually that Ramanreti is named after the original Ramanreti. The original Ramanreti is in Gokul. And there, in Ramanreti and Gokul, Krishna and Balaram would have their pastimes and their Bali Leela. It's actually a place of Leela. It's called Ramanreti. But not that Ramanreti, the Ramanreti in Gokul. And that place is named after that Ramanreti. And living in these places, I can compare and contrast the feelings I would have in Smaran and Bhajan and just living there. And it's a huge difference. And that's why, although I was living in a very wonderful place in Ramanreti in Temple Garden. I was there 5 years and I was becoming very attached because the landlady's name was Radharani. Patak. Banwari Patak was her husband, who was a great servant of Prabhupada, Banwari Patak and Leelamrita. He had died untimely and she was living there alone doing bhajan all day, sitting out on the veranda with all the peacocks and squirrels. You met? No, you didn't see. And she loved me too much like a mother or like Radharani. And it was a very wonderful, loving feeling to have such a loving relationship with one Brijvasi. But I was definitely noticing a difference in Smaran and Bhajan and Japa between living in Ramanreti and Madhavan Colony and Seva Kunj. So although I was quite painful to part company with Radharani, the landlady, and the temple garden, and the proximity to ISKCON and all our Guru Bhais and Seva, I came to the realization that if I want to go forward in Bhajan, I must live in a Priti Vasati Stali. Priti Vasati Stali. I must live in a place where Radha and Krishna's pastimes are directly going on without any argument or imagination or doubts. And I had already had a long-term attraction since 1977 for Radhakund. So although it was very painful and difficult to make the transition, somehow we were able to shift over here. So this is the point. It is extremely powerful to live in a place of Krishna's loving pastimes and do his bhajan. And this, and of course, at the level of bhava, one can't but live in such a place. His love for Krishna will push him, force him to settle up and do his bhajan, and at least externally, in one of Krishna's primary lila stalis. And I'll just conclude on one addition here. And the seventh principle here, nam gane sadaruchi, which is the seventh internal characteristic or symptom of bhava bhakti or of bhava bhakta, which means he's ever relishing strong taste to chant the holy name of Krishna. There's a reference in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, part 2, chapter 3, 167. And there, Sanatana Goswami says, when a devotee anxiously chants the holy name, he will be blessed with all these bhavas. Can I read? And Sanatana uses the analogy of a chataka bird. Just as chataka birds are anxiously waiting for the clouds in the rainy season to pour down rain, which is the only water they drink, and the chakravaka swans, they're a type of goose or swan, the male chakravaka and the female chakravaki, they're together during the day. This is their natural habit. But at night, when the sun sets, they separate. This is some phenomenon. Not like pigeons. Pigeons are together or on top of each other or whatever all day and night. Coo, 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 ooh, ooh, ooh. But the chakravaka birds, as soon as the sun sets, then one flies off somewhere and the other one, they're separated. Every night. Daytime they get together, nighttime they're separated. This is the phenomenon of their existence. So they're often used in the Rasa Shastras. So just as the chakravakas, which is a type of heron or swan, the female pitifully laments, crying through the night in separation from their husbands, the same anxious mood, in that same anxious mood, the devotee should chant Nam Sankirtan. Surely, a devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord in such an anxious way, while their hearts are agitated by feelings of separation, will attain bhava or prema. So this is called Nam Gane Sadaruchi. This is the characteristic of one at the level of prema, that he's always chanting the gan, he's always relishing, Sadaruchi, he's always relishing the taste and great happiness and joy from glorifying Krishna's gan, his qualities, his characteristics, and especially his nam, his name. But if one wants to come to the platform above, Sanatana Goswami is saying that this is a key, and he uses the analogy of being pitifully separated from Krishna, feeling great pity or lamenting in separation from Krishna, like a chakravaki, female heron separated from her husband, a chakravaka, cries throughout the night. So we cry throughout the night, the long night of separation from Krishna. We cry. And that night lasts not for 10 hours. That night may last for 10 years. It may last for 20 years. We're crying night after night. And this mood, this anxious mood, chanting Harinam. And surely, Sanatana Goswami is promising in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, if we chant the holy name in such an anxious way, and at the same time feeling agitated with feelings of separation from Krishna, then by this, we will surely attain prema, bhava and prema. So we'll conclude there and continue tomorrow. So tonight, of course, there's special darshan of Radharani's lotus feet at Govindaji Temple, Radha Govinda, and I think also on Gopinath. Gopinath? Gopinath's temple. And maybe Madan Mohan must be having something. Lotus feet also? So in about 10 minutes we'll do Parikrama. We'll walk over there and see. Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Govinda Dev Gopinath Ki.